Well, a good Sunday morning to you. Ask the Mayor, Public Affairs Program with our Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor. I'm Steve Day. Well, on Thursday, we're just going along. Then we get a call from you about 11:55 or so and responding regarding the possible shooter en route to the Highlands Episcopal Church. And even though we plan for things like this, what a day. And you were out in Clayton.
Having a doctor's visit, my doctor was talking about my blood pressure might be a little high that day, and I told him, I said, we've got a big town board meeting tonight, so yeah, that's kind of understandable. As I was walking out the doctor's office, our town manager, Josh Ward, called me and said, where are you? And I said, well, I told you I was going to the doctor, and he says, get back here immediately. We have a shooting threat in town at the Episcopal Church. Our police had been deployed, and we're responding to that threat as I arrive. I want to say I really appreciate our police department, the Macon County Sheriff's Department, the State Bureau of Investigation, and all the first responders. They did their duty. They had to make some very quick decisions about how to address this dangerous situation. They did a wonderful job. We also had people, our departments, like our fire department, responded by putting fire trucks to block certain roads to create a perimeter around the church. Even our sanitation department, those folks stopped what they were doing and parked garbage trucks in certain areas. Our volunteer firefighters responded. Plus, we had so many people like our daycare workers and our school administrators and teachers. Everybody knew what to do and responded. And that's really gratifying to know that our community leadership knew what to do. With that said, though, Steve, you know, this is kind of like you've heard the term just recently, the fog of war. This was a foggy area initially, an immediate emergency that we were having to respond to. There was a lot of contradictions. The caller was calling in, then one of our officers was able to contact him and kept trying to keep that person on the line, as did the 911 operator. A very confusing time in that you never have all the information that you need to have in responding to an emergency. But everybody worked together, and we did the best we possibly could in this type of situation. The police chief and town manager and I were in my office on Friday morning talking about what we did, what happened, what we can do in another situation like this, or how can we prevent such a situation. So there's an ongoing discussion on how we can address these emergencies. And also there's an ongoing investigation trying to find out who this person was, where they were, and really what happened.
At 10:40, the call came in. Then 4:50, our police chief came out with a statement. And then at 5:27, WLOS.com, Channel 13, there was a story, and you were quoted there.
Yep.
So it takes an all day just to get the information, solid information, to report.
That call, the threat, came into the 911 system. Then our police, of course, were notified and became very quickly involved in the situation. Some people were upset that the 911 call was released to the news media, but under North Carolina open records law, and the news media went to the county and said, we want a recording, and that has to be issued. The police chief was coordinating all the response. I spent a lot of my day responding to news media inquiries, which were just overwhelming at one point. And then, yes, we had a press conference by the Presbyterian Church on Fifth Street in front of the Episcopal Church that afternoon, where cameras were rolling and the police chief and Lieutenant Broughton and others fielded questions and made that statement about the situation.
The, of course, regular town board meeting, and expecting that just to be a nice short one, but then you were saying that Chief Holland took your place in the public statement about what happened.
We had a workshop, and then we had our regular town board meeting where the newly elected commissioners and myself as mayor were sworn in. Normally we have a mayor's report, but I deferred to the police chief, and she gave an update to the people at the meeting in the town board. again, we had news media there recording the chief's statement. I thought it was important to try to get that information out to the board members and to the public, since we were broadcasting the meeting, about where we were at that point in time.
Of course, thankful for your call at 11:50. And then, of course, going to the town app, askmayorpat.com. I got some information there in the Highlander. Mm-hmm. Had several updates and other web parts of social media.
In reflection, I think we want to, from here on out, use that town out more frequently than we did. On the other hand, what is in some ways very frustrating, a lot of times there's no new information to provide the public. We have to be very careful of not providing erroneous information to the public that might impact the investigation or cause public disturbance.
And people calling up here saying, what's the information? So I'm waiting for my official sources. And that's what we go by.
And I'll be honest with you, sometimes in cases like that, the mayor will get from staff or the police an immediate statement or response of what's going on. Within a few minutes, they find out something else is really happening and everything changes. And that's what I'm talking about, it being such a fluid situation. Things change very quickly and we look at it from different perspectives.
When you came in at 11:30 on Friday, well, today right now to record and then play back on Sunday, the town app just pushed this and I may read this, is still actively investigating the threat made against the Episcopal Church of the Incarnation on 1211. However, we do not believe there is an immediate danger to the public at this time. We urge our community members to continue using caution, remain aware of their surroundings, and report any suspicious activity to 911. Thank you, and that's immediate.
And, you know, we're recording this. If we get new information, we will share that when appropriate. I did want to say one other thing. Yes, the caller communicating that threat was focusing on the Episcopal Church, but if you listen to that tape, he talked about having some type of bomb device planted somewhere. Law enforcement, yes, you've got to secure and focus that target that he was talking about, the Episcopal Church, but we also had to take steps to make sure that all the daycare facilities were secure and protected. The school had to go into lockdown, and then once all of that was done, then we had to start developing a plan in the afternoon, which really went well, of how parents can pick up their children. Most of the daycares, the children were transported to the Highlands Fire Department. The parents were notified, and in the afternoon around 2, parents started coming and picking up their children there. The school was locked down. And then, of course, security measures were taken when the parents came to pick up the children and the buses rolled in the afternoon around 3 o'clock. There were a lot of moving parts here.
And also, the first responders have to be aware that possibly they may be a target.
When you see those police moving up and down the street, not knowing what the situation is, you have to appreciate their willingness to step forward and put themselves in harm's way so they can protect the community. That goes for all of the law enforcement agencies. But when I was coming back from the doctor's office, the Macon County Sheriff units were flying by me, rushing to respond to this situation. Again, I can't emphasize the first responders, the firemen, law enforcement people, our town staff folks. I mentioned the sanitation trucks rolling, our workers being involved. We have to use all of our resources in an emergency situation like this because we're not a big city. We have limited resources and we have to coordinate them to respond to something like we saw on Thursday.
Your doctor's appointment and then this incident and then Sally's mom passed away.
That's right. After the board meeting where we had the swearing-in ceremony and everything, we were notified by hospice that Sally's mother, Jean Trott, had passed away. She was 92, and if you recall, she was married to the former mayor, the late Mayor Buck Trott, and served in that capacity of being married to Buck while he was the mayor for 8 years. So she was a wonderful lady, a wonderful person, and meant so much to so many people in the community and did so many things in the community.
Well, I'm kidding when I would say that also to Buck. So what an angel that woman of yours is.
Yes. And Buck would have agreed.
Uh-huh. We had the workshop. Anything come from that? Any information that you could share?
Concerning the TDA legislation and how that money is spent and so forth, I did an initial presentation. In that presentation, I had four things that I think we should work toward. One is to update the 1985 enabling room tax legislation, which will allow more flexible application of that money to projects such as tourist-related infrastructure projects. We're the only county in this whole area that has not that change, so we're kind of overdue on that. Second, I think that we ought to expand the TDC committee who oversees that money and have more people from the community on that committee. I believe that we should make the process of allocating that money more transparent, to where when we have a meeting, everybody knows we're having the meeting and can attend. And then finally, and I'm not saying it should be done or not, but we should look at it, and that would be increasing the TDA tax rate from 3% to 4, 5, or 6%. If you look at, again, all the counties in the surrounding area, many of them have rates that are higher than ours. Those were my four points that I presented. Then we had a discussion among the board members, and then we had people from the tourist business community in Highlands and everything come in the chamber and share their views too. The long and short of it, Jeff Weller and I, Commissioner Weller, we're going to work after the holidays and create a committee to start talking about how we can move forward in reviewing all of these concerns. We want to involve all the people that are involved in tourism and the town officials. We also have to and want to and should involve the county. They, the people that have the legislation, they oversee the whole process. So it's going to be a complicated process of getting people involved, and this was just kind of the first conversation.
We thank you for being present during this and always. And if you can't get to us individually, you know, there's so many other ways for us to contact. Of course, the Highlands app.
And the town website. We post information there. And then WHLC, you folks can really be instantaneous in getting out information in situations like we experienced this past week.
And the 12 years and now adding four more, you've always got carte blanche when you're really not extremely busy and can get out here. So we appreciate it as always.
Well, I will say this. It was a good meeting, especially with the swearing in of the three new commissioners. Jim Tate was newly elected, and then Amy Patterson, Eric Pearson were reelected for four-year terms. Jim's will be a two-year term to fill Brian Steeler's unexpired term. And then I took the oath of office. It's an honor to continue serving this community as the mayor. My theme is always, I'll be on duty. Another sub-theme is, let's all work together to move this community forward.